Clark.
My debut, 1990 September, Bristol City away. To get that opportunity, what thousands of Geordies only dream of.
Lee Clark, 1-0.
Williams.
My first goal for Sunderland away at Leicester. It was a left foot volley. I didn't realise my left foot was for kicking the ball with as well. I thought it was just for standing up.
Hignett.
Playing against Chelsea and to score the first goal there is something that still lives with me now, and it's what most people have talked to me about.
Hignett with the ball. Ron Iggy. You beauty. You Scouser Teesside beauty.
Worshipped every weekend. It's the three legends. Bantering rivalry across the northeast on the Toon. The Cat. The Red.
Good evening, the three legends. How are we doing, Lee, Craig and Darren? How are you doing?
Not bad, Daz.
Yeah, all good.
Good, 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 good. Another interesting week in football. It's never quiet, is it? You know, whether it's replays, Champions League, there's so much been going on this week. It's been a funny old week, hasn't it?
It has.
Well, it's been a good week for us, hasn't it? We're still unbeaten, are we? The three of us were unbeaten this week, so it's been a good week. The other two lads have obviously won. We've got a draw.
Aye.
You couldn't ask for much more than that, I don't think.
No. Right, we asked for three wins, mate, but we never get them.
We let you down, didn't we, there? But listen, I'll take a point away at Ipswich. Yeah. That's a really good point from the boys, so I don't think we let anyone down.
Well, I think we spoke about it, didn't we? We spoke about Burrow... lifting that game for the big ones, aren't it? You know what I mean? They've done it this season on many occasions, Higgy, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, Clarky, and that's what makes it frustrating, isn't it? You know, you go to these teams and they go and do well and play well against them. I mean, they were really good against Ipswich. You have to say, Ipswich are a good side, and their keeper has made two unbelievable saves to stop Borough from winning it. They were really good second half, Borough, always in the game. You just want them to be. I mean, Latty Lath again. Do you know what I mean? We spoke about him, Daz, haven't we?
Goal. Great header.
Great header. It was a good ball in from Luke Ayling, and then, you know, a brilliant header from him. Gets another goal. That's 7-9 he's got now. He's on fire.
It's like what we said last week, isn't it? Imagine if he had put his fee up high.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Nicky, if he had been fit all season, who knows? He could have been that striker we've been on about, haven't we, for Borough?
Yeah, I mean, you could say, apart from Newcastle, you know, our teams have struggled to score goals, you know, particularly us and Sunderland. And
yeah.
When you want a goal scorer, he looks like he fits the bill. Like I say, he's not. You look at him sometimes, and you know, he's not pretty on the eye, is he? But he's quick. He's a nuisance. He makes runs in behind. He's willing. And he's found a bit of form. And like I say, 7-9, Borough 9 unbeaten. They've gone on a really good run, but I mean, still not going to make the playoffs. Still a bit away from the playoffs. But it just shows you how poor the start of the season was for them.
Yeah.
We finished on this last Friday, didn't we? Where you know, I said about the injuries, mate. If we hadn't had those injuries throughout the three clubs, you know, who knows? You know, the season would be looking different, I think, personally. You know, you're not far away from the playoffs at this moment in time. You can imagine you didn't have those injuries, mate. You know, there's always a potential, you know, you could be up there in there.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, you know, Borough are ninth. They're on 63 points, which, you know, it's not... They're still further away from the playoffs than they were when we were talking, and that's without them losing a game.
Yeah,
you know, so it's hard when it doesn't look a lot. You know, 6 and 7 points doesn't look a lot, does it? It's only 2-3 games, but it's clawing them back in a short space of time. It's really difficult. It could take you 10 or 12 games if you were on a really good run to try and claw them back, because the teams above you, they're also on good runs. And they're not dropping many points. I mean, Hull and Norwich have gone, you know, backwards and forwards, haven't they? And, you know, Norwich now, I know Hull have got a game in hand, but Norwich look like they've got their noses in front. There's 6 points between them two now. So it looks like the top six.
Looking at it, you can't really count out Southampton for automatic.
No, you can't.
Definitely not. They've got to go to Leicester, haven't they?
They've got some good games, and we said it last week, didn't we? That, you know, after looking at the results, Ipswich, Leicester, and Leeds, none of them won, And it's like, who's going to win the league? Does anyone want to win this league or not? Yeah, I mean, Ipswich, Leicester are doing their best to throw it away, aren't they?
Yeah. No, yeah. Definitely. I think it's exciting for the neutral, but people involved in those clubs, especially Leicester, like we say, all three were saying, weren't we, a couple of months ago, oh, Leicester are up. They could end up with a record number of points. They could break the record for how quickly they win promotion. And then all of a sudden, it was just bang, wasn't it?
Yeah. Leeds were the same. Leeds went on a brilliant run, got themselves to the top, and then they've had a little stutter ever since.
Guys. Leicester have got West Brom tomorrow at home. Yeah, Southampton away at Cardiff. And then obviously Leeds have got Borough Monday night.
Mm, yeah.
So Borough can play, you know, a part in it again. And Leeds will, you know, after the last couple of games they've had, they'll not be looking forward to going to the Riverside.
They won't.
So, you know, and then
you wouldn't put it past Borough, would you?
No, definitely. We said it, and they've done it all season. They've gone to the top teams, and they've got results. It's whether, you know, it's like one of them, Higgy. It's like these games must get the lads excited. Do you know what I mean? And then the other ones, they must think, we just have to, not saying that they go with the wrong attitude, but whether they just turn up and think, we've done it against the big boys. If we do the business, I'll just turn up. We'll get the points, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much the end of season's playing into or coming into account with them lads, because some of them haven't got contracts. They know it's going to be a big summer at Borough. Do you think some of them have upped the game a little bit because they know, hang on a minute, things are going to change here and I might be out?
Could be, mate.
We're local lads. We know our two clubs are two of the biggest in terms of the championship, in terms of the facilities, you know, the support they get. I know, obviously, you know, the success in terms of being in the championship for a while the last few years, but if you were a player and you knew championship was going to be where you were going to be playing next season, Sunderland and Borough be top of your list, where you'd be seeing the agent try and get us in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
because you'd want to be playing in them stadiums. Aye. You'd want to be at the training grounds. You want to be in front of the large numbers they both get. So it's just, I don't know. It's I think, like I said at the start of the show, there, if Lattie Lath had been available for the full season, he could make it. We've all been in them teams, haven't we? Where you have someone who scores a goal out of nothing. Yeah. You can be playing rubbish. It's a 0-0. It's a terrible game. And then your number nine just comes up with something out of the blue and you end up getting 3 points.
Well, Isaiah Jones being fit as well, that's been a bit of a bonus for them.
He's just signed a new deal as well,
He has, He's just signed a new deal, which is good news because, you know, on his day, he's a really, really good player. And he's had some issues this season, that's for sure. And hopefully next season, you know, he can put them all behind him. It's sort of a fresh start for him. He knows he's got a contract. And he can kick on again next season, because I think he's stuttered a little bit. You know, he burst onto the scene. He looked brilliant. He was very positive. And then he's had a little spell where... So sometimes, you know, when you play with freedom sometimes and nothing's an issue, is it? And you go out and you just express yourself. Well, he was doing that at first and he was really exciting to watch. And then he had a spell where he was playing regularly in the team and it was almost as though he got safe and he wasn't as positive as he was, and he was going backwards and square quite a lot, wasn't taking as many men on. And listen, that might have been due to the fact that some teams might have played differently against him because he was suddenly known. But he just didn't look as adventurous. You know, and sometimes his end product is a little bit hit and miss. But if he can add some more goals, and the good thing about him is he started to run through the middle of the pitch and run without the ball. So he's the one now getting on the end of stuff. You know, he's not the one who's putting it across for others. He's trying to make an effort to score more goals. And if he can score more goals, if he gets double figures a season, then other teams will look at him because he does the other side of the game really well. The defensive bits... He does really well. He's really surprising defensively, but he's been a bit of a bonus to come back, and just hopefully we can keep him fit. But it's been a great run from Borough. You know, I can't knock them. I think they've been brilliant the way they've responded. They've had a, like you say, Daz, a tough time with injuries, but they haven't moaned about it. They've gone on with it, and they've got some really good results during that, especially against the top sides. So, you know, long may that continue, but it's just come a little bit too late for this season.
Well, I'm looking forward to the game Monday night, to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to seeing Borough against Leeds, because obviously, you know, playing against one of the teams who are hoping to go up automatically. I just think it could be a real good game, and you could see the best of Borough Monday night. So
looking back on the Ipswich game, Higgy, what? Sorry, Claddy.
No, brother, pal.
Were you happy with the point, or do you think?
No, do you know what? I was disappointed at the end of the game because they had enough opportunities there. Like you say, the keeper made two fantastic saves. And now, if you're ultra critical, you'd say, well, you shouldn't have got near any of them. You know, they should have been in the back of the net, but they were brilliant saves. You know, really good saves. I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look back, they had the best chances, Borough. They got done a little bit. Matt Clark got done ball watching for their goal. There was a ball to the back post. He was just ball watching a little bit. Lad nipped in front of him. Good finish, by the way. You know, it was a difficult one for the lad to take on the volley as he was running in at speed, and he cannoned it in off the bar. But Matt Clark, again, is another one who's, you know, the run that they've been on, he's been exceptional, isn't he? He really come to the fore and defended really well. I think as a team, defensively, they were really good against Ipswich, and then they broke, and when they broke, they looked dangerous. And like I say, I think at the end of the game, I was disappointed, Daz, because they'd created the better chances, and they got in some really good situations and maybe didn't make the most of them. But, you know, you can't moan, can you? Going to Ipswich, you were doing what they're doing this season, and the attacking, they've got real good attacking players, Ipswich, who can hurt you. But on the whole, Borough kept them pretty quiet.
Good. So, Daz, you guys,
yes,
the clean sheet experts.
Yeah, I mean, 5 from 6, mate. You know, it's good. It's good to see. You know, reflecting obviously on the West Brom game, mate. I think the sending offs has made a difference in the game. It has affected the game as such, because I think, you know, West Brom created a few chances early doors, albeit, you know, there were shots from long range, like, you know, like we said against Leeds, because, you know, Sunderland have dug in, they've got this, you know, this wing back formation going on with the three centre halves and two wing backs, which is working extremely well. At times it's a flat back five. You know, they're trying to frustrate teams and obviously keep them outside the area, and you know, in the last few games, mate, they've restricted teams to long distance shots in majority of the games. But like I say, you know, it's a couple of lungy tackles from the West Brom laddie. You know, he's lunged in a couple of times, and I think the second one, had he not already been booked on the yellow, there's potential that he may have got a red anyway. You know, it was slightly high. It's late. It's down the front of Ballard's shin, you know. So there's a potential he could have walked on that one, but it changed the course of the game in a sense. I don't think Sunderland really created that much early doors. I think, you know, the building from the back. You know, as we spoke about early in the season, you know, clean sheets are key when you've been struggling. And 5 from 6, mate. You know, we can't really argue with that.
Well, the frustrating West Brom. Well, the frustrating West Brom, why the sending off happened, was it?
Yeah, I think there's frustration. I mean, to be fair, mate, his second booking, I mean, even his first one, you know, he's had a heavy touch. He's had a heavy touch. It's got away from him, you know, and then he's lunging to win the ball back. And, you know, he was late on both occasions. Jack Clark's come inside on the first one, and he's come from an attacking position that the forward, and he slid in, and he's took Jack Clark out. I don't think it was particularly a bad, malicious tackle in no way, shape or form, but it's late, so he's picked up a yellow. And then his second one, he's back to goal, he's took a touch, it's got away from him. Ballard stepped in, got on the ball, and as Ballard's played the ball, he's come down the front of his shin. So, you know, I don't think there was any arguments from anybody. You know, had it been obviously a straight red, I don't think there'd been any arguments. But yeah, I think they've frustrated teams, mate. I think they've kept them at distance, they've kept them at bay. You know, Luke O'Neill threw his body on the line a couple of times to block things. You know, and then we've got a goal from a corner. But if you look at the position of Ekwa, he's actually facing away. He's not even got his eye on the ball, and he's looking like he's looking back down to Patterson in his own goal. And then all of a sudden he's just turned his body and it's dropped to him, and he hasn't had to put any weight behind it whatsoever. He's just put his foot behind it and he's just guided it into the roof of the net, mate. Which it's a great finish.
I'll tell you what, Daz, it is a great finish, you know, because it's a difficult one when a ball's bouncing like that and it's going at a fair pace, mate, to him as well, to control it the way he did. I thought it was a brilliant finish.
It's a great, I mean, it's like you say, it's kind of that half volley, but he hasn't put any pace behind it. He's just let the pace of the ball do it. And like you said, you know, it's a tremendous finish, because you look at his body position just before that, mate, he's got his back to the ball. He's not even looking at it.
It's like he thinks
the ball's coming in from the other side. But I mean, it's a great finish. And then we create a few chances from there, but still, you know, West Brom had a couple of opportunities, could have maybe pulled it level. You know, it wasn't, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a vast convincing victory, but it was a nice solid performance and a 1-0 win.
Great.
Well, things are looking up. What's changed, Daz?
Go on. Yeah, sorry, Paul.
Yeah, what's changed with them, Daz? What are they approaching games different now, sort of defensively?
I think defensively, mate. Yeah, I think defensively we look a lot more solid. He's changed the shape. Obviously, you know, we've gone to wing backs, which, and you know, Pembele has stepped in there. And I think from the game, you know, previously he's done extremely well in that position. And I think they look comfortable. I think it was a Leeds game he played there, and he looked comfortable in there. And it, you know, they've stuck with it, and it makes him more solid at the back, mate. Like you say, they're restricting teams from being in the box. You know, any shots are from distance. You know, and I think that's taking a bit of pressure off the back line, because obviously, you know, as we know, you know, we're not prolific scorers week in, week out. But you know, we'll get a chance and we'll get an opportunity with either Jack Clark or Ekwa or, you know, Bellingham. You know, and if we can get a goal, you know, with the defensive record we've got at this moment in time, touch wood, it continues, you know, you'll always scrape a 1-0.
With them clean sheets and the defensive record does going on, obviously players are going to get recognised some more. I mean, it's come up again this week about Patterson being linked with Liverpool, the goalkeeper. What's your thoughts on that? Do you believe he can step up and make that jump?
He's there or thereabouts, I think, mate. You know, there's been weeks where, you know, we're questioning him. You know, he's, you know, there's a couple of occasions where, you know, that he's played a ball to Ballard. It's short. It's inside the box. You know, it creates an opportunity for the other side. Sometimes he's a little bit, you know, lazy on the ball in that sense. You know, he takes his time. You know, he's a bit, like you say, it was composure, but at times he's been caught. So I don't think it is. You know, I think it's just the quickness of his feet. He needs to sort out. But you know, for me, over the course of the season, mate, he's done well for us. He's done extremely well. He's kept us in games at times. You know, so there's that potential he could step up. Whether it's next season, I don't know. Whether it's maybe he's a season too short. Maybe he needs another good championship season, and then obviously see where he goes from there.
Yeah. Well, obviously. We're talking about Borough having a big say in the, you know, automatic promotion. obviously, the next two out of your last three games, Millwall and Sheffield, who are down at the bottom. I know Millwall have got themselves a little bit away of it, but if the results go against them, could be dragged in. So yous are going to be involved in what happens relegation-wise.
Yeah, we are, mate. I mean, obviously, the game at the weekend, you know, obviously coming up, Millwall. It'll be a tough game, mate. You know, they're on the back of a couple of good results, a couple of good wins against Cardiff and Leicester. You know, so, you know, two obviously decent sides there that they've come out on top on. You know what it's like, you know, with Millwall. You know, they're organised. You know, they're always rigid in what they do. You know, obviously, you've got the concern is obviously Watmore coming back. To Sunderland. You know, there's always that potential of him
possibly
nicking a goal. But on the way we've been defending in the last couple of weeks, mate, I'd like to think that we'd be comfortable and we'll keep another clean sheet. But you know, obviously the only weekend will tell that one.
Because like we're saying about how tight it is at the top and it keeps changing, it's the same at the bottom, isn't it? I mean, Birmingham had a big win, beating Coventry, but when I'm looking through the fixtures, two of my old clubs play each other second last game of the season. Huddersfield at home to Birmingham,
which is a proper old game down the bottom there. I mean, Birmingham go to Birmingham go to Rotherham there tomorrow, so they could do a win in that one. But they just bring Steve Evans in, so that might be the knock-on effect that for them Rotherham players. They'd be looking to impress him. To,
is this the third time he's been to Rotherham, Clarkie? Is that the third time?
Second, I think. I just hope he gets a bigger belt this time, eh? Remember when he ran down, run down the touchline at Wembley and them trousers came down. I tell you what, I wouldn't mind his underpants full of pound coins, that's for sure.
But listen, we're talking about Birmingham, Clarkie. I mean, you must be. I don't know how you feel about Birmingham, whether you're gutted they're in the situation they are, but they've obviously made the change, haven't they? They've made the change, but it hasn't worked, has it?
No. I mean,
they've been really struggling until the last game against Cov.
Six managers, you know. Six people have took the team this season. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, the season isn't even over and you've had six. I think Gary's won two and lost two. I've still got a lot of affinity with the club. I'd love them and Huddersfield to stay up, but unfortunately, I think at least one of them's going to go down. So I think that second last game of the season's going to have a big say on what goes on. But, mate, it's just been total mismanaged from the top. You know, how we talked about it, didn't we? About John Eustace losing his job when he had them in the playoffs, overachieving, to be honest, when you look at what's happened. And they went for the so-called big name in Wayne Rooney. That didn't work. You know, Tony came in, really settled the ship. His experience was shown. His leadership was shown. Obviously, you know, his personal issues have had to change things. And then Mark took over for a while. And Mark was honest. He just, you know, he's like, we're missing one leader, you know. And I think the board looked at that and thought, Gary knows the club. He's played there. He's managed Gary Rowett. You know, if someone's got a short period of time to go and hit the ground running. So I think the next two games, even though they're away for Birmingham, Rotherham and Huddersfield, they'll be looking to get the points that'll keep them in the league. I think they'll do it. And then it's just whether Huddersfield can get points in other games to bring other teams into play, you know. So, but it just shows
it's not a bad last game, is it, for Birmingham? They're at home against Norwich, aren't they? Norwich might already be in the
playoffs. Well, I think Norwich will already be done and dusted, I think, won't they? It'll be, you know, there's a chance that they might treat that as a dead rubber. Norwich, he might rest a few players getting ready for the playoffs. There'll be complaints about that from other teams, but that's not David Wagner's issue. He's got to look after his own team, you know. If they're down there after 45 games, that's their problem, you know. I think as a manager, you've got every right. If you've guaranteed a playoff and the last game of the season isn't going to affect anything, you cannot move up the place or whatever, you've got every right to just wrap your players in cotton wool ready for the playoffs, you know.
Clarkie, did you ever do that as a manager?
When I went up to Scotland, mate, so up there, the bottom team gets relegated and the team that finishes second bottom, they have to play in the playoff against the team that wins the playoffs from the championship over two legs. So when I took over what bottom, I got them off the bottom, but I couldn't get them out of second, so we had the playoffs. So our last league game of the season, Dundee United at home, nothing could change. So I made loads of changes. And what I did as well, out of this, I give a couple of youngsters a chance. And a lad called Greg Taylor, who was captain of the reserves, I played him at left back. He was a left footer, playing midfield for the reserves, but I put him at left back and ended up playing him in the two playoff games. And he was different class. He was only 17. We ended up selling him to Celtic for £3.5 million. He plays for Scotland now. He's won two trebles. So, I'd done it. And it was like, I had to do it for my own benefit because my team had two big playoffs coming, you know.
Yeah. But it's unearthed a real gem for you, though.
It did for the club. I mean, they sold him after I'd gone. So, but for the club, and I just that was the big thing from that game. I mean, it was a rubbish game because it wasn't really in my mind. It was in the way really of my preparation for the playoffs. But that's what it done, and it allowed me to rest some of the players as well. So. I think you're well within your rights. You've got to do what's right for your club, haven't you? Yeah. Well, Dave Bassett done it with a couple. We got in the playoffs when I was at Barnsley. We were playing Birmingham. It was over two legs. And before that, we were already in the playoffs. Nothing could change with our position. And he'd said to me, and a couple of the other lads, he'd give them a bit of time off and said to me, do you want a bit of time off? There's a week. If you want to get yourself away, go away. I ended up in Tenerife for about 4 or 5 days and then came back just before the playoffs kicked in. But felt refreshed, you know, when you go away and you feel great. Come back to playoffs, and I think we beat Birmingham 4 in the first one. Got to Wembley, where we got beat by Ipswich after extra time, which was a nightmare. But it was a great bit of management, I always thought, because he was class like that, Dave. If you done well for him, then he would look after you unbelievably.
Yeah. But what he's getting you away from the pressure and all the talk, isn't he? From the you're going away, just chilling out, then you come back and you're buzzing to see the lads again and all that. Like you do, it's not just physically, it's mentally, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that was a big thing for me. It was mentally. Physically, it was all right. I didn't feel tired or anything like that. But it was mentally, you know, that you're always under pressure. Are we going to get in the playoffs? We need to win this one to guarantee a playoffs. And then it was all the other stuff, you know, the playoffs coming up. And it, like you say, it just gets you away. You don't think about anything. You just go and enjoy yourself, get a bit of sun, come back. And when you come back, you're looking forward to coming back because you've got some big games coming up.
Yeah.
It's the three legends on the Cat, the Toon and the Red. We'll have more chat, and you can get in touch via the WhatsApp 0330 or 43 2002. We've got a couple of WhatsApps, but you can get in touch with the show at any time. We'll be right back with more three legends chat right after this.
It's the three legends across the northeast. Clark, legend. Williams, legend. Hignett, legend. WhatsApp us, call or send a voice message. Banter at its best. 033 00 43 2002.
Right across the northeast, the Toon, the Cat and the Red.
And Steve has been in touch on the WhatsApp from Gateshead, wants to know, Lee, after 3 out of 4 wins for Newcastle, do you think they're going to stay in sixth place after that performance against Tottenham at the weekend?
I think they've got a great chance, yeah, Daz. I think the performance against Spurs was superb. It was a real, real good top-class performance with some top goals. Isak's 2 goals, brilliant finishes. But they just steamrolled at Tottenham. They didn't allow Tottenham to get any sort of passing, any sort of control of the game. The pressing was spot on, the speed that they played with on the transition, and then the passing, it, you know, it was 4, could have been more. And I just think, you know, there's players coming back as well. You know, Callum Wilson's been back in training, so Eddie's starting to get a bit of strength and depth as well, so he's got the possibilities to change things. Little bit of a break at the weekend, this weekend, then they go to Palace. So when you look at their run in, what they've got, Palace away, Sheffield United home, Burnley away, Brighton and Man United at home, then Brentford away, it's not a bad run in. You know, it could have been a lot worse. So, and they've put themselves in a really strong position.
I'll tell you what, Clark, it's a shame, isn't it? Happened in the Champions League, isn't it? It's a shame. We thought we were going to get 5 positions. But with what happens in the Champions League with the teams going out, it only looks like it's going to be the 4, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's been a tough week, hasn't it? In European competition for the English clubs, Arsenal and City going out the Champions League in brilliant games again, by the way. I don't know if you got the chance to watch them, lads. Yeah. And then, obviously, Liverpool last night, the start they had, you're thinking, go on, they can do it, get one more.
That was a solid chance, wasn't it?
Oh, Salah, wow, what a chance. Higgy, yeah. It's perfect. The keeper's committed himself. He's in no man's land. The ball's just sat up lovely to just pop it over him, and he's mishit it, hasn't he?
It's, you can't, like, believe he's missed it. Yeah,
no,
you can't believe he's missed it.
He puts them away with his eyes closed. And then West Ham were always up against it, weren't they? Leverkusen. I mean, that was always going to be a tough one for them. I watched the Villa game.
Yeah, Clarky, with.
Go on, pal.
Do you think, like, sorry, mate, do you think with Newcastle, do you think they're kind of getting back to where they were with the form-wise towards the start, you know?
I do, pal. I think
how they finished the season last...
I don't think it's no coincidence that they're starting to get players back. You know, Harvey Barnes being a big miss, starting to show, you know, real quality. As I said, Callum Wilson's coming back. So it's Dan Burns moved into centre back, doing really well there, you know. So it's been good.
You know, we've mentioned about Anthony Gordon, and you know, he deserves his England chance, and there's every chance he's going to be on the plane for the Euros. Has Cole Palmer sort of knocked him off his perch?
Oh, God, how well's he doing? He
Unbelievable.
Looks brilliant, mate. I mean, his composure.
Because they're both similar, aren't they? They're both similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Similar types.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say, Higgy, is probably looks like to me, Cole Palmer looks like he's just playing in that floating role, the free role, what used to be in our day, the number 10, where he's just getting himself in behind, you know, behind the strikers or popping into little pockets. You know, some of the things he was doing the other night against Everton when he was coming in deep and stuff like that. It was, you know, it was.
Because he's got some quality, so, hasn't he, the kid?
Absolutely. I mean, one of his goals where he's played the little 1-2, but some of his movements to beat those couple of players in tight areas was
superb.
But
then when you see,
you know,
Gordon against Tottenham, you know, when he's playing Isak through and winning the balls, and he's so quick.
Yeah. They still haven't decided, have they, on the 23
on the
or
numbers.
26 man squad?
Yeah.
I don't think they've made a decision yet, have they? So, Anthony's been superb all season. He's been really consistent in his performances. Every game he's having attempts at goal. He's making chances for other people. I mean, even in the first half the other week against Fulham, when Newcastle were really up against it and didn't play particularly well, I think he had four attempts at goal and Anthony had them all. So he's producing, you know, his numbers are good, he's delivering, he's got a great work ethic as well without the ball. So yeah, I think, like you say, I mean, Gareth's just got so many offensive players to choose from, hasn't he? I mean, it's going to be a difficult one for him to pick. It is. He's got
20 goals now, Palmer, hasn't he?
And yeah, he's joined top with Haaland in the Premier League, which is a brilliant return,
Pep,
really.
Do you think Pep didn't think he was going to do that? Do you think Pep thought he's a good player, but...
I watched Pep's press the day, and Pep obviously had a lot of questions to answer about Cole Palmer. And he said, you know, he tried to convince him to stay, telling him Riyad Mahrez was off to Saudi Arabia. But he hadn't been convinced because I think he'd only had three starts prior to that, prior to moving to Chelsea or City. And I think Pep then said, you know, for a two-year period, Cole had kept saying, I need to play more games. I need to leave. So he said for probably 2 years. And then he says, obviously, he tried to, the last throw of the dice was to say stay, and because Riyad's off to Saudi Arabia, but it didn't happen. The lad had made his mind up, which, by the way, you find a lot of these youngsters will stay sometimes at these big clubs and they don't want to get on with the game. And he's made a big decision.
To our Instagram players, doesn't it? What we were on about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so it's. He's done brilliant.
We touched on Haaland last week. Obviously, I was fortunate enough to be ball boy during the week. Man City.
But you would have got up close and personal.
He didn't look great. He didn't look great the other night. He looked a little bit out of sorts. He just didn't look like he was in the game much. He had a couple of opportunities, but he didn't look like he was at the races, to be quite honest. And I can see where people are coming from, and I think obviously there's been a couple of things going around, obviously, about the warm-up as well. He was very lacklustre in the warm-up, kept giving the ball away in the possession session prior. Listen, we know he can score goals, but he did look a little bit way off against...
Do you
against
know what's interesting there? About Man City, Daz, is that there's a lot of their players out in the press, and it's come out in the press recently, that are saying they're tired and we need a rest. And I think there was a report that a couple of them asked to come off the other night, which I can't believe.
Yeah, Haaland and De Bruyne.
Yeah.
They said that they'd gone, they were shot going into extra time, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which, as a player, I can't fathom that.
No.
You're crazy, mate.
It's a weird one, that. It's a weird one.
But the other thing is, I was going to talk about was, when we got on to Cole Palmer, did you see the penalty that they were arguing over?
Embarrassing, mate. Embarrassing.
What's going on? I mean, if you're the manager, what do you do?
Well,
so go on, what would you do?
He's come out and said this, the right thing. I watched it. I was intrigued to see what Pochettino would say, Higgy, and he was perfect. He said, "Absolutely, probably our best performance of the season, and it's going to get overlooked by that nonsense with the penalty." He says that all knew Cole Palmer's the penalty taker. Everyone knows, and he says, "I've told them it won't happen again because he says you'll be out the club." He says it doesn't happen like that. We've got a designate. And I don't know if you heard after the game, the punditry stuff. Dele Alli, brilliant. Dele Alli said, it doesn't look great, which it doesn't. He said, but when they got the penalty in injury time a couple of weeks ago, at 3-3 against Man United, I didn't see them all fighting for the ball then. They all turned their back on it and let Cole Palmer just get on with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but exactly right. But I don't know what was Jackson doing? Why was Jackson even involved? Madueke, fair enough, he had hold of the ball. He's trying to get it. I get all that. But why is Jackson then getting involved?
It was embarrassing in the end.
It was proper embarrassing.
And what Pochettino also said, he said, this is why, and rightly so, we're getting talked about as being a team of individuals and not a team, because people are just trying to... When that looks like you're just being selfish for your own good. You know, at the end of the day, Cole's the designated penalty taker. So that end of story.
Well, he's got an interesting game on the weekend, hasn't he, Cole Palmer against City?
Yeah.
You know, they don't come much bigger than they did in an FA Cup semi-final. So that's going to be an interesting watch, I think.
Yeah. I mean, when we're talking about strikers, lads, just going back to Newcastle, I don't know if you've seen the goals and stuff from Newcastle's top. Alexander Isak, lads, honestly, and there was a video circulating through the week of his goals this season. Honestly, he's a terrific finisher, both left and right foot. So calm, you know, doesn't smash the ball, just places it into the corners and, you know, little side footers here and there. Really top player, really, really doing a lot of good things, and hopefully he can stay fit for us from now till the end of the season.
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting. He's obviously rapid, Clarkey, but he's got that long stride, hasn't he, where he doesn't look like he's going dead fast, but he's getting away from people. But the amount of times that Bruno Guimarães finds him over the top with long balls, like if people play high, like Tottenham do, I mean, Tottenham, you know, they play high because they think they've got a bit of pace at the back, but they exposed him, Newcastle, didn't he, particularly with the long balls.
Well, there's been talk of that Van Veen being one of the quickest players in the Premier League, the centre back. Yeah. Like you said, he left him for one of the goals. But I like that about Newcastle. You know, we've talked about it before, and we're talking about the Championship clubs playing against the Prem clubs and just having one way of playing, wanting to play out from the back. But like you say, Higgy, Newcastle can mix it up because they've got that threat over the top. And obviously, Bruno's got the quality of pass. His range of passing's superb. And Newcastle can pop it around, no doubt about it. But if someone comes and tries to play a high line like that, they've got that ball, 60-yard pass over the top, which can get them in as well, you know. Mm. It's a good combo, definitely.
Yeah. And they've been a threat from set pieces as well, Newcastle, haven't they?
Yeah,
Shari, I don't know how many he's got this season, but he scored a brilliant header.
I know that they spend a lot of time on set players because they do have a repertoire of them. They do pull some different ones out on a regular basis when you're watching them, corners, different situations and stuff like that. So they do put a lot of emphasis on that, definitely.
No, it's good to see. It's good to see because I think, like Taz says, I think they found their mojo back again and they look like a real threat again now. You know, whereas we were talking about them a few weeks ago, weren't they, saying they look like they were out on their feet. They look shattered. But they do. They look like they've got a little bit of spark about them again now and they look really dangerous. I'll tell you the other interesting thing. I know they said it was just housekeeping, but Amanda Staveley's resigned, hasn't she, from a lot of Newcastle companies?
Yeah. And she's got this ongoing court case where she's been told to pay, is it $3.6 million?
Yeah, from an investment that someone had made.
She's appealing that.
Do you think that's got anything to do with this?
Well, it seemed too coincidental not to, you know what I mean? It came out at the same time. And I think everyone started to panic, and then obviously they got wind that it was just that companies that were linked to Newcastle United, it wasn't actually the main company, so she's still classed as a director. But then there was a report the day after, I think, in the media saying if she loses the appeal, she could file for bankruptcy, which means she has to automatically relinquish becoming a director of the club, you know.
Yeah,
which
well,
would
you're
be
not allowed that, to be a director then, are you? If you're
yeah, so she, that would be a disaster for her because she's done lots of good things in terms of off the field stuff and, you know, helping on the field, but and she seems to be enjoying the position. So interesting few weeks, to be honest. I mean, she has reduced her stake in the club, you know, her and her husband. So let's see what happens.
All right, it's the Three Legends on the Cat, the Toon and the Red. You can get in touch at any point on 033 or 43 2002. That's our WhatsApp number. We'll be back with more chat right after this.
Clark, legend. Williams, legend. Hignett, legend. It's the Three Legends. WhatsApp us, call or send a voice message. We don't bite. 033 00 43 2002.
Right across the northeast, by the fans, for the fans, the Toon, the Red and the Cat.
It is the Three Legends, and coming up after the Three Legends at 7 o'clock this evening, where we've got Ian Murta. Ian joins us now. Ian, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank lads.
Listen, all right, Ian.
I'm good. When you think back to the 90s, lads, and you think of unsung football heroes, you think of names like Darren Williams, Craig Hignett, Lee Clark, but there's another one who I think he's a quintessential Northeast unsung hero, and he'd be my guest tonight. He's a good mate of yours, former teammate of yours, Higgy. It's Robbie Musto, who I'll be talking to in a transatlantic phone call.
Well, it will be, won't it? Robbie's in the States now. I think he works for NBC or something like that.
Yeah, he's arguably more famous as a broadcaster over there than he was as a footballer here,
Absolutely. I've seen him a couple of times over here. I've seen him at Man City once and had a good chat with him. And he's had a great life after football, Robbie. He's done really well.
Hasn't he just? Listen, my second guest, he's so young, he's never even reported on a relegation. I think he's my youngest guest so far. It's Jordan Cronin, who covers Newcastle for Newcastle World. He used to be a press officer, cut his teeth in journalism as the press officer Blyth Spartans. We've all got our fingers crossed for them tomorrow because I think they need a win to stay in National League North. But it'd be interesting to hear from Jordan because, you know, as I say, we've all got very different views. I'm sure your views are like mine on the FA Cup. But for someone in the 20s, late 20s, is the FA Cup as important to them as it is to people like ourselves? So I'll be interested to hear his views on that.
Smashing. Well, that's Ian Murta and Black and White and Red All Over, which follows us on the Three Legends at 7. We'll see you in a little bit, Ian.
Will do.
Cheers, Ian.
Cheers,
We've got a WhatsApp in, boys. I think a lot of people have been talking about this over the last couple of days. Jeff has been in touch. He wants to know what the Three Legends view of the FA announcement about the FA Cup this week.
Scandalous. Scandalous.
Yeah, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Absolutely. They're just trying to take away from the smaller clubs in the pyramid once again. The FA Cup is the lifeblood of these football clubs. You know, even if this one of the smaller clubs gets a home draw against one of the big boys, they're hoping that they can nick a draw to get the go on one of these big clubs. Because you get 45 to 46% of the gate.
Yeah, it's almost half the revenue.
And it's that's a difference. That could keep these clubs running for 5-10 years. And that
clubs' budgets are based around the FA Cup, aren't they?
Especially absolutely.
Clubs, you know, if they get a run, I remember being at Pools, that was something that was always important. Try and get round at least a couple of rounds where you get some extra money in, and you get the prize money,
Higgy, for going through, and then you get the gate money as well, which you.
Yeah,
you
but like you say,
if
you're a small club and you have a great day out at your club and you get a draw against one of the bigger boys, then, you know, surely as players you want to go and play at their grounds because it might be something that you do very often, and then you also want the revenue.
Well, for example, let's use this as an example. Like Accrington Stanley, I think their ground what holds about 4,000-5,000 tops. So imagine they got third round their FA Cup, they got Newcastle at their place, but then you know, somehow they ended up drawing the game. And they come back up to St James's in a full house, 52,000, and they're getting 46% of that gate receipts. Mm. That's set them up. Oh, but that's massively. Not going to be allowed. Well, that's not going to be allowed to happen now.
No, so Marine played Tottenham.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And that was during COVID. Like, so no one was allowed to attend the game. But because people are brilliant, they bought tickets online, virtual tickets.
To watch I remember that.
Now, those virtual tickets that they sold a ridiculous amount. But to this day, the club is still spending that money. And it's kept them going over all them seasons. And they've been able to do fantastic stuff around the place. It's just, you know, for a club like that, you want them to be able to benefit off doing brilliant things. So if you get to the third round as a really small club and you get a draw, why don't you get a replay? You've earned that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a dream day out for people, and they're taking dreams away from some of these people. You know, you look at the who had the run last year from the National League all the way up, got beat by Ipswich, did they, in the end? Or they beat Ipswich. They got beat by someone else at the end. Mm. It might have been Maidenhead.
Yeah.
Or Maidstone. I think it was Maidstone. They had a fantastic run in the competition. Now,
but you know, it's a knock-on effect as well. I mean, examples that I've had as a manager, we drew when I was Huddersfield manager, drew Newcastle at St James's in the Carabao Cup now. I can't remember what it was called then. It was 40,000. That money we got, them gate receipts, allowed me to go and sign Danny Drinkwater on loan from Man United for the season, because Man U wanted a loan fee. Obviously, his salary was a lot more than a League One club. And then exactly the same, we played Arsenal at the Emirates in the FA Cup, and it was start of January, third round, and we got half of 60-odd thousand, and the owner came to us and said, go and get yourself, if you need any help in the squad, there's a money for 2-3 players from the cup run. And that's not just what people see, you know, it that can help the team. So it's then helping the fans, and it's allowing these clubs to grow and grow. What's been really naughty about it is AFL clubs haven't been asked about this. It's just been done between the Premier League and the FA.
Yeah,
and that's what's totally out of order about it, in my opinion. The Premier League's just getting more and more power, and it's not right. And the FA Cup is classed as the best cup competition in the world, because you can get a team from the eighth tier of the football pyramid playing Man United or Liverpool, or Man City at their. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not going to be the case, because what you're going to end up having, 9 times out of 10, if it's going to go, what is it? What they're suggesting, is it going straight to penalties, or is it going to be extra time?
Well, I'm not sure. But I mean, imagine if you're a smaller club and you start right at the very start of the competition. You might have had 2 or 3 replays up until the time you get there. So you're still adding to your pot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be fortunes, but it's still a little bit.
And it makes a difference. So
yeah, it makes such a difference. But I can't believe they haven't consulted people, and you're dead right, Clarkie. I think the Premier League now have got so much power that, you know, at times they don't need to, because they've got that much power. They're just saying, well, this is what we want and this is what's going to happen. And it'll take something to try and wrestle that power away. I don't know how clubs are going to do it. Obviously, with the big clubs, if they go against them, then that's a different matter. But when you've got the big clubs wanting less games a season, so they can concentrate on other things, this isn't a fight for them, is it?
What the situation is here as well, Higgy, and because I listened to the Premier League managers talking about it, and they're saying, yeah, but we've got to sort the schedule out. The players are playing far too many games. And I get that. These top players now who are internationals, they get very little breaks, because obviously you've got the Euros coming up this summer. But what I don't agree on then, right, after that is, when there's international breaks, or there's breaks in the season, or come the pre-season, and I know it's all down to finance, these players are jetting off all over the world, representing their clubs, playing in nothing friendlies, do you know what I mean? In Australia, in America, in the Middle East,
in China.
You know what I mean? So it's all right seeing the schedule's hectic. Look at Newcastle and Tottenham, end of the season, going to play 2 games in Australia at the end of the season. Gareth Southgate, like we've just talked about, Gareth, there could be a few players from those clubs Gareth wants to have involved in the Euros.
Yeah.
What does he do then? I mean, it makes no sense, does it?
No,
I just think they're changing things for this for the sake of it. By the way, just
changing the subject, and I know Ian mentioned about Blyth there needing a result to stay in the National League North. What about the jobs Steve Watson and Terry Mitchell have done at Darlington?
Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
They were nine points adrift when he took over.
And they're
safe with the game in hand.
Yeah.
Just signed a new 2-year contract, him and Terry as well, haven't they? They've won 12 games since they've been there, and they've won 10 out the last 14. I mean, that's probably winning the league form, that. Yeah. I mean, I spoke to him when he took it, and I was like, what are you thinking of? You know, because like you said, they were adrift, and they weren't playing with a lot of confidence. But he's done an unbelievable job, mate. He's done a very, very good job, and congratulations to him and Darlow.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
I think they're one of the local clubs who've spoke up about this FA Cup ruling, haven't they? Because they're thinking, you know, it'll affect them
as much as anyone else, won't it?
Of course it will.
It'll affect all these smaller clubs. It'll affect them.
Are you surprised that more clubs haven't come out?
We've
got to see the effects of what it's going to do, do you know what I mean? And this is what they've got to look at. Do you know what I mean? This is going to affect a lot of clubs next year. A lot of clubs. This is going to come out as a small club.
Massive. Gets a draw against one of the bigger clubs. This is going to raise its head again, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, that's why I think all these small clubs, whether they've all got to club together and say, you know, just the points that Clarkie have said about it being, it's the lifeblood of their season. Some of them rely on it.
Yeah. This season will see a lot of clubs, I think, like probably going because of this because a lot of them do rely on this money, or they'll cut back until they've got a nil budget, and then what happens then
the fans of these clubs are losing out because they're not seeing the quality of player they should be seeing because the club can't afford them because they haven't got the budget anymore and they haven't got these potential cup ties but it goes
back to money again, Clarky, doesn't it? So all these teams in, and it doesn't matter what division you're looking, by the way, all these teams at the top are all the teams with money.
Yeah.
There isn't one league where a team has gone up without money. Every team at the top, there's no common sense in it whatsoever.
Do you know what I mean? They're not even thinking about anywhere outside the Premier League. That's the
disrespect they've shown to the EFL clubs by not even involving them in the talks and the communication. It's been the FA and the Premier League, as if they say they'll just accept whatever we decide, and that's not right, you know.
No, it's not me.
All right, guys, we've got a couple of more minutes left before we disappear at 7 tonight. I just want to get your predictions for the games this weekend and the coming week, starting with Sunderland and Millwall.
I'll go first, Daz.
I'll go for you, pal.
I'm going to go home win for Sunderland. I think the defensive strategy will kick into place. I think they'll start get a bit of bit of confidence about their attack and play now as well, and they'll win the game. It'll be a tough one, as you said. Millwall fighting to stay in the Championship. We know what they're about, Millwall. You know, they've got their own way and style of playing. So, but I think Sunderland will win.
Clarkie, you've stopped predicting scores now. You're just saying at home win.
Oh, all right, mate. I'll go 1-0. 1-0 Sunderland. 1-0 Sunderland. Sorry, Higgy lad.
Love it.
I'm going to join him on the 1-0, Daz.
Yes.
Because that's an easy one for me. I think, you know, Sunderland are in a good bit of form at the minute. Defensively, they look sound. They're not scoring loads of goals, but I fancy them to get a couple of goals. Well, get at least one against Millwall, but I do think it'll be a tough game. But 1-0.
Well, I'm going to put your two ones together and I'm going to go 2-0.
Yes.
2-0. Clean sheet. Good, comfortable win. Fingers crossed.
Fair play.
Yeah.
And Borough on Monday versus Leeds.
Yeah. I'm going win again for the Borough. I think they enjoy these big games, but I'm thinking 2-1 to the Borough.
Very good. Darius?
Yeah, I'm gonna side with Clarke on that one. I was gonna go 2-1. I had it written down on here, so that'd be days. I think Middlesbrough, like you say, I think Middlesbrough will stand up in these games, and just, you know, I think they'll do lead.
And Higgy,
you know, the run they're on, I should be dead confident, shouldn't I? 9 unbeaten, but I'm not. You know, I'm like, but it's at home. Borough at home. I'm gonna go 3-2 to Borough.
Ooh.
Ooh,
what a game!
Looking forward to that Monday night.
Yeah.
And a Newcastle's trip to Crystal Palace in midweek. What do we reckon, Clarke? It's going to be a tough little journey down there.
Hey, Palace were good, you know, at Liverpool, Clarke.
They were, mate. They were. Yeah. They were.
I thought they looked dangerous, didn't they, Elise?
They did. They've got some good talent at the top end of the pitch, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
But I still think we're playing well now. We're back to our best. We're getting players back. I'm going to go 2-1.
Oh, you've took that score. I was going to say that. I'm going to go.
So was I.
Well, yeah. Go on, we'll all go that. We'll all go that.
Yeah, let's go 2-1.
We'll all go that, 2-1.
So are we?
Yes, well done, lads.
I think we're going for three wins again, aren't we?
We're going for three wins again.
Yeah.
Never comes in.
We're going to get it right once, Daz.
We hit the crossbar last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did, mate.
Well, thanks very much, guys. It's the Three Legends. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful week ahead. And we'll be back next Friday to digest the rest of those results. What are you up to this weekend, lads?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on an 18-mile charity walk tomorrow.
Nice one.
Are you?
Yeah,
good luck, mate. All the best.
Thanks.
I'm getting ready to go to our Manfield Sunday.
Yeah, I'm there as well.
Sorry, nice, Fulham. Nice, Fulham, mate. Fulham, sorry.
All right, all the best, guys. Have a good one.
See you later. Bye.
All right.